Fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is 2 minutes past the hour on this, the 16th day of March, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room and participate there in the madcap, zany, wacky, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that is our little old free chat room. Free to you. If you want to, just click on chat room at headonradionetwork.com, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and hop right in where you will be merrily greeted by Anatole and Hoghead and Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, BT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator on what must certainly be a lovely Northern California day, has folded space. Become Man Cave. This is a listener-supported broadcast operation. We are very, very fortunate and appreciative to have a merry band of a lot less than 100 subscribers who each evening, one or two or three or four of them, will help us make up shortfalls, such as they did last night and the night before, so that we've just got a regular, ordinary, typical evening's fundraising to do. And that we do. We've got about, we need to raise 200 bucks this evening, like we do every evening. That's the ordinary fundraising goal. 200 bucks, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50. 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter, 64 at $3.12. I screwed that up somewhere along the way. Sorry. But anyway, that's we try to raise 200 bucks every evening to keep the bills paid. And there are bills a needing of paying. And if we can make that happen, it would be a really, really big bonus. So that's where we stand. Okay? Now we need to raise 200 bucks. If you want to help, just go over to headonradionetwork.com and click on the Contribute tab. And if you would like to become a member of that merry band of less than 100 folks, you are certainly welcome to do so. Just click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation on the PayPal page, and bang, there you go. If not, just fill in any number you want. Mr. Soros, you need to put down a 1 and just start writing zeros until your hand gets tired. Uh-huh. And that'll work out nicely. Because, of course, we know that all things progressive, all things liberal are funded by George Soros, except apparently The Horn. So there we go. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, and some people do, thank you very kindly again to Frank for helping out. Hope you're hearing this, Frank. Just drop it in the mail, checks and money orders to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y-W-V 25801. And if you do that, just send me an email so that I can tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout so he can leave his spider-proof gloves in his truck and only have to take a good 12-inch common spike with him in case he runs into a member of the Klan who also gets their mail there because the UPS store has no problem doing business with a domestic terrorist organization.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okie dokie. So it is what am I looking for here? Oh yes, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thorn in the Side Thursday, of course, we reserve for, and it has taken on a new meaning for me over the last couple of months because I really am in touch with what it feels like. Ow! You know, it's pain in your side. It's no fun, but it's reserved for those really brilliant, genuinely wonderful moments. That emanate from the right wing, in which we receive the full brunt of their brilliance, their wisdom, and as far as Thorn in the Side Thursday goes. For this particular Thursday, the 16th of March, 2017. I can't think of a better place to begin than with our current Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Son of a bitch couldn't put on a Band-Aid without killing somebody. Tom Price. Now, you know that the favorite buzzword of the birchers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, booger eaters, baggers, trumpanzees, that crowd. You know that one of their favorite phrases in the world is states' rights. Yeah, see, we don't want them coloreds eating at the same lunch counter because of states' rights. These are things that are best handled at the level of the states, and it's the rights of the state because the state knows the best for exactly what it is that the people of the new 90 states needs. Uh-huh. Yes. Right. Well, apparently it doesn't just apply to people the color of whose skin they don't like. It applies to all kinds of people they don't like, and ideas they don't like, and anything that happens, and this is, you know, this is the fundamental conundrum of Republicans in the federal government. Why do they even want to be there when they don't believe it in the first place? It would be like making me the Lord High 32nd degree exalted noble bishop of the Southern Baptist Church. I got no business being there because it's not something I believe in. Right? Okay. So being as how this is Thorn in the Side Thursday, Wolf Blitzer sat down to a conversation with Dr. Tom Price. Well, never mind the setup. Just listen, okay? Wait. Auga! 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 Hockey puck warning. Please to be biting down on your hockey puck right now, lest you frighten the neighbors with your screaming. All good? Are we ready? Yeah? Okay? Go.
Should you believe in immunizations? You believe all children should get a shot for polio and other diseases?
It's a different question. The question that she asked is should Denise be able to buy the kind of coverage plan that she believes is most appropriate for her? The answer to that is an emphatic yes. The question that you ask is what kind of health care ought to be provided to individuals. And there are certain things that we ought to do as a society, and we encourage. That's the kind of education that is so important for folks so that they know what's best for them and for their families.
But should it be required, measles, mumps, those kinds of immunizations?
Let's be clear here. Should vaccinations be required? I think going forward, we need to refer to that as the Jill Stein Memorial question. And of course, during the campaign season, the Jill Stein Memorial question got all kinds of sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade types all tied up in pretzel-like configurations. Mm-hmm. But it's a straightforward question for anybody who is halfway serious about science, and presumably, unless he went to the medical school at Thumbbutt Holiness Medical College, Dr. Tom Price should have had one or two or possibly even three or four actual science classes so that this would not be a gotcha question. Do we still have our hockey pucks? And by the way, the lady in the audience, in this clip, we don't get to hear what her question is, but she wants to know if she should be able to buy an insurance policy that meets her needs for the things that she wants. And of course, Dr. Tom Price's answer is, well, of course she should. And you can't hear the little asterisk that goes there that stands for at the bottom of the page for unless she wants to buy abortion coverage. And then the answer is no. And then our commitment to Republican small government gets really, 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 really great big giant big, and we get to tell her no, foul vulgar woman, carrier of the original sin of Eve, no, thou shalt not be able to purchase abortion coverage. Just to clarify that. So the question is on the table. It's a fairly simple question. Should vaccines be mandatory? I mean, this isn't string theory versus Einsteinian physics. This isn't even a question laden with opinion like chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, pistachio, or tutti frutti spumoni. This question has only one of two answers. Should vaccinations be mandatory? Should vaccinations be required for the nation's children? The answer is either yes or no. Let's go to the tape.
Required measles, mumps, those kinds of immunizations.
It's a perfectly appropriate role for the government. This happened by and large at state government level because they're the ones that have the public health responsibility.
States' rights to determine who gets vaccinated. You know, maybe the good little white children need to get vaccinated, but maybe we don't need to vaccinate some of the wrong Coolards. Because after all, remember, my dear friend Steve King says that the Hispanics and the blacks will start a race war that will prevent this country from ever becoming a minority-majority nation, and white people can be the majority like God and Jesus H. Christ intended. All right? It can kind of blow right past you.
For the government, this happened by and large at state government level, because they're the ones that have the public health responsibility to determine whether or not immunizations are required for a community population, whether it's growing kids or the like, or if there's an outbreak of a particular infectious disease, whether or not an immunization ought to be required or be able to be utilized.
Ebola! Yeah. Ebola, Zika, Herpagana, syphilades. Mm-hmm. Chlamydia Gene, come over here. It's time to get your shot. Because the state we live in has determined it's time for you to get your Herpagana, syphilades, Zika, Ebola immunization. So, just to review, in case the full stupidity of that statement has somehow evaded you, maybe you were banging your head on the sheetrock at the moment and missed it all. The actual secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services says that if the state of New York wants to require a polio vaccine or a whooping cough vaccine or a measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine or a chicken pox vaccine, if the state of New York wants to require that doesn't mean that the state of South Carolina stand, where they love liberty so much, sit liberty, see it, and feed them so much that might just be too much intolerable interference by government in their sacred liberty loving freedom oriented lives. Well, you know, South Carolina may not want to do that, or maybe Alabama doesn't want to do that, or as previously noted, maybe those state governments decide that they want to immunize some children but not others. See how it works? Because we can't have the federal government interfering in people's lives. The big government. That's big government having parents get little children immunized to keep them from dying from things like measles and mumps and rubella and polio and smallpox and what have you. Uh-huh. That's big government. This is a level of stupidity that is scarcely subject to complete definition. Of course, the decision to vaccinate is best made at the state level. Well, you know what? Let's see. I was just thinking back to, a couple of years ago when an anti-vaxxer evangelical minister who was the daughter of Kenneth Copeland out there in Texas, she got all anti-vaxxer. And, what was it that just ran rampant through the community and started getting a lot of people sick who weren't even members of her weird little cult? What happens when that crosses over into Oklahoma stand? Or maybe it moves west into New Mexico. Huh? All right.
Remember the outbreak? What was it? Chickenpox, maybe? At freaking Disneyland a year and a half, 2 years ago? That was started by some anti-vaxxers? What does the state do then? Just asking. Because, see, after the outbreak, or say after the epidemic, or after the pandemic, has really gotten its running pants on, that is a bad time for a state to look up and say, hey, wait a minute, we did the right thing in our state. We required all of our children to be immunized. It's you goddamn numbnuts down there arguing over a Confederate wanting to try to fly the Confederate flag that felt like the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines were an imposition on your fucking freedom, and now you got a whole bunch of youngins sick. You know, primarily little babies who are too young to be immunized. Or kids with problems that keep them from being able to be immunized. The whole thing is underpinned by something called herd immunity. And that is apparently lost on the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And if that doesn't give you an idea of just how profoundly dangerous these bipedal monstrosities are, well, I don't know how better to help you understand. I think by and large, within the Horn Family Community Congregation, I think you do know how dangerous these people are, because you understand that their goal is to kill no small number of us, because then there's less people to worry about insuring. Oh, I didn't do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid," did I? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. There's less people to worry about insuring. There's less people to worry about feeding. Not that they're much interested in that. We'll have that in a minute. There's less people to worry about having to have a job for. I mean, if you can kill off a shit ton of Americans, the unemployment rate, if there's a bunch of unemployed Americans in the number of people who get died off, which sort of seems like will probably be the case, being as how they're going to be more vulnerable than other folks. Well, then, problem solved, right? You see why I wanted to make this the front end of Thorn in the Side Thursday? But Lord, there's so much more. Dear Heavenly Jesus, there is so much more. I mean, you ever heard of Meals on Wheels? The president's, and we use the term oh so loosely.
Modern life deserves.
Oh, I hate autoplay. I do. Well, one of the things that gets the axe in the Trump budget, I kid you not, is meals on wheels. You see, as people grow older, they often become less mobile. They become less able to attend to basic functions of daily life, like getting up and cooking for themselves. Especially in situations where the person is A, alone, and B, poor. And C, has mobility problems. Because they're still not quite around to dropping those groceries by Amazon drone just yet. So, Aunt Matilda, at 93, who led a vibrant, happy, meaningful life, now lives alone. Once upon a time, she was the absolute queen of the Fellowship Hall kitchen, say. And everybody acknowledged that Aunt Matilda made the best cornbread, absolutely the best chicken and dumplings, a peach cobbler to make you weep. But Aunt Matilda's 93 now. She's still getting around some. Hasn't gone off to the home yet. But cooking for one is a pain in the ass. I mean, it's just kind of pathetic to, you know, try to steam three broccoli florets. Or, you know, one little puny hunk of cauliflower. Or a half a potato in the microwave over by the camera. And at 93, she may not have just a hell of a lot of money for groceries. I mean, Lord God, this country is so brutal that, for instance, if 93-year-old Aunt Matilda gets any SNAP benefits, if she happens to get a cost of living adjustment on her Social Security, her SNAP benefits are reduced by an equal amount, because we wouldn't want Aunt Matilda going all hog wild and taking her walker down to the Quick Mart and buying a whole buggy full of frozen Alaskan king crab legs, because that really annoys the hell out of, Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Don't want her buying asparagus either. Makes your pee smell funny. And so there are millions of people all over the country who rely on something that has come to be referred to as Meals on Wheels. And beyond the elderly and the poor, Meals on Wheels also feeds veterans and disabled people, people who are unable, for a variety of reasons, to go out of the house and go shopping. But, and apparently this occasioned no objections whatsoever from Sleepy Ben Carson, the entirety of the $3 billion Community Development Block Grant Program at the Department of Housing and Urban Development gets zeroed out under the Trump budget. And while we do not spend anywhere near $3 billion for the Meals on Wheels program, are you kidding me? This is America. No, out of that community development block grant program, we spend about $3 million, which is chump change in the grand scheme of things, to make sure that Aunt Matilda isn't found face down, dead of starvation, in her apartment someday. Uh-huh. $3 million. And that's part of $3 billion that gets zeroed out. By the way, the student free lunch program goes too, because hungry scholars are more eager scholars, despite the fact that every piece of available nutritional and scientific and educational data suggests otherwise. Children who are properly fed, who get the day started with a full belly and get to refuel sometime around noon, well, they tend to learn more, and they tend to learn better. But not in Republican world, not in the United States of Trump-merica. Mm-hmm. Now, will Meals on Wheels go away immediately? No. As one article over at Huffington Post points out, the funding for Meals on Wheels comes from several sources. But a $3 million hit to that program is a significant hit. And again, doctor, we throw that term around like frisbees now, don't we? Dr. Ben Carson, who is such a fine Christian that he has a portrait in his home of him standing with his homie BFF Jesus, uttered not a peep. Wait a minute. Not to get all prayer meeting Wednesday on you or anything. I think Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, had a little something in particular to say on this. Because once upon a time, his Atne Ute Aitbrei, if you one what I in may disciples, got into a squabble over who liked Jesus best. And Jesus responded, and told them a story about a king separating groups of people into those on his left hand and those on his right hand. Let us remember that the Latin for left is sinister, sinister. And he talks about, he says, the goats are on the left and the sheep are on his right. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. You'll notice it doesn't say ye gave me tempeh. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. Ye offered me only some crappy little bit of hummus. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. Now, I'm just joking about the tempeh and the hummus. No. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and they took me not in, naked, and they clothed me not, sick and in prison, and they visited me not. Then shall they also answer unto him, and this is the crux of the matter. Say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know what's really funny? You're not going to hear any ringing denunciations of Ben Carson or Dr. Tom Price or Donald Trump. Or even Mike Pence, now officially America's best Christian. You're not going to hear any denunciations of them from Pat Robertson or Franklin Graham or Kenneth Copeland or any of the other prosperity gospel hustlers, Joel Osteen and the like. You're not going to hear a peep from them about zeroing out Meals on Wheels. There will be no reminder to Dr. Ben Carson that there is a lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels that is awaiting Dr. Ben Carson or Mike Pence, America's best Christian. Because they're hypocrites. And they have a higher agenda. And that higher agenda is to establish theocratic rule in the United States of America. And, you know, Christian theology can get kind of a mess. God knows it gets messy. It's gotten messy enough in the past that countless untold hundreds of thousands of people have been killed over it. We talked about one particular instance a couple of nights ago. Where the good Christians left the bodies of the people they determined to be bad Christians to decompose in cages hanging from the church steeple in Münster, in Germany, in Westphalia. Right. But this is unequivocal. If you don't feed the poor, if you don't feed the hungry, if you don't clothe the naked, if you don't visit the sick, if you don't take care of the folks in prison, if you don't give a drink to somebody who's thirsty, if you don't take in strangers, there's no equivocation here. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, say 15 Hail Marys and gargle with holy water. Uh-uh. These who do not do these things shall go away into everlasting lasting punishment. And the disciples look at him and go, huh? And he said, did I stutter? This is the viciousness. This is the absolute hatefulness of conservatism. I don't know what your life's like. I mean, I try to get out and around and see, you know, have a kind word for the clerk at the Rippy Mart, or a howdy for the woman at the checkout at the Wiggling Pig. But if you're elderly and you don't get out, it is worth noting that Meals on Wheels represents not only the only meal an elderly person may receive in a day, but also the only human contact. This is where we are. This is Trump America 2017. Now, at the same time that we're zeroing out a $3 billion block grant program, isn't that neat about how block grants can just go away? Huh? Kind of makes you wonder why they'd want to turn Medicaid into a block grant program, doesn't it? No, it doesn't at all. While we want to get rid of a $3 billion block grant program for, you know, feeding children and elderly people and taking care of the least among us, well, do please remember that we're going to add $54 billion to the Pentagon budget. Because the Pentagon budget is already 10 or God knows how many times bigger than the next 10 defense budgets combined, as noted last night. What else? Well, if you go and find yourself a good rundown of what they want to do, I can tell you this much. I'm a quit flying. Why? Because the goal of the Trump administration is to, you know, because the private sector can do everything better than the big government. One of their stated goals is to privatize air traffic control. And that way, air traffic control companies can spring up. And the air traffic control companies will then have hiring practices that are based upon hiring people for as little money as possible so as to maximize the profit of the private for-profit air traffic control companies. And the next thing you know, well, just looking in the sky above you near a busy airport can get real interesting. I mean, when I fly out of here, I'm usually going one of two places to catch a connecting flight. I'm either going to Detroit or I am going to Hotlanta. I usually prefer to go to Hotlanta. It's usually a little smoother flight, and you know, I like the destination. But flying into Hotlanta can get a little worrisome. If you start looking out your window and you see there's an absolute sky full of really big aircraft, of which you're one. And you just kind of sit there trusting that the air traffic control professional had a good night's sleep. Didn't get all liquored up last night. Didn't just take a big old refreshing blast of meth. But in fact, the air traffic control professionals are very, very serious people who are, in fact, professionals. And then you get, the minute you land, you queue up. You queue up Little Feet singing "Oh Atlanta," and there you are. I mean, look up the statistics on the rate of landings at Hartsfield International Airport in Atlanta. It's stunning. It's like every 3.5. It's something crazy, like every 3.5 seconds. And it takes a lot of focus and a lot of determination and dedication to keep those planes from touching each other or flying really fast into each other, that sort of thing. Well, the air traffic control system gets privatized. Yeah. Remember how Bernie, during the campaign, talked about the absolute necessity for the United States to join the civilized world, not only in providing universal single-payer Medicare for all-type health care for its citizenry, but also in terms of providing free tuition-free access to college for our young scholars who wish to go to college? Huh? And remember how he was castigated by the wingnuts as Bernie wants to give away free stuff. Well, no, it was more like an investment that would bear considerably greater fruit down the road. You'd think these fiscally minded people would understand things like that, but where education was concerned, it was lost on them. Well, there's not going to be any free college tuition for young working class kids. Instead, they're going to get rid of, if not get rid of entirely, cut the life out of Pell Grants, which helps working class kids go to, you know, college. The EPA gets gutted. The State Department gets gutted. State Department, Secretary of State. Oh, my God. Hillary. The devil. Pay for play. Argle bargle. Clinton Foundation. Warble whoosh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's check with some email. Ron and Raleigh. Well, Bob, you have to understand that feeding those geezers will severely cut into the tax cuts for the hedge fund managers and the like. Man, you have to get your priorities straight. Oh, I know. I'm such a knee-jerk, bleeding heart little liberal. Oops, there's a flaw in my reasoning, Tracy points out. Bob, you're assuming that Aunt Matilda will still have an apartment. Hit the bricks, Granny! Yeah. And subject line, Steve, Meals on Wheels from Steve in New York. So, remember how we used to say that the GOP wanted to kill the elderly and they accused us of hyperbole? Well, the only hyperbole seems to be how quickly. And thank you, Steve. Steve noting, stop telling us whom to feed, Bob! Oh, I know. I know. But, you know, no matter what or how many nasty things are in this budget, we can at least say this. At least we are not burdened with the nightmare that would be Hillary Clinton as president. Because, you know, she'd be doing the same thing. The Clinton budget would zero out $3 billion in block grants from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Sure. There'd be a monumental 28% cut at the State Department, the U.S. Agency for International Development. She'd have done that, too. I mean, Jesus, Bob, can't you see? I mean, goddamn. Neoliberalism! Right! You look at this budget stuff and you just want to queue up Tomorrow Belongs to Me all over again, but luckily we've already heard that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can see why. I think you can probably see why Thorn in the Side Thursday took the direction that it took. It's almost unavoidable. So it's about 5 minutes before the hour. Thanks to the folks, the design folks, I don't know how you want me to give you credit for, I mean, how should I say thank you? Shoot me an email, let me know, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Thanks for Head On Radio. Thank you. And a result of that, we have only $175 in fundraising to go for this evening. Thank you very much indeed. So that's pretty much the, like I said, that's pretty much the filibobster. Break coming up. I hate the sneezing. Oh, if it's not one thing, it's another. Well, we got a break coming up, and being as how it's Thursday, we also have the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. I look forward to our Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if you've got a thorn in the side that you would like to bring to people's attention. The lines are open, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. That's the stress line, named for gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. And from anywhere on planet Earth, you are welcome to reach the program by Skype. And the handle for that, reaching me here in the studio, is Bob Kincaid Horn. You can also send messages that way, too. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. So, yeah, break time. And then your thoughts on the day, on the issues. Scott, with an email, says, at the daily press briefing today in the White House, Budget Director Nick Mulvaney suggested, I want to keep the hockey puck handy for this, I think I know where Scott's going, that federal grant money being sent to states that are being used to fund local Meals on Wheels services, quote, is not showing results and hence is being cut from the new budget. Scott says, interesting notion that. I would think that providing meals each day to seniors is definitely providing the result of feeding them nutritionally sound meals. With each new day, the Trump administration shows itself to be comprised of some pretty cold-hearted, uncaring scumsuckers. At the rate the situation for old folks is devolving, I expect to see Trump himself doing infomercials for Soylent Green most any time now. Meanwhile, I recall that in one of the Gospels, Jesus said, and ye shall do even greater works than these, referring to his many miracles. But here's the strange thing. You just don't see any of the self-proclaimed followers of Jesus healing the sick, curing the lame, making blind folks see or deaf folks hear, or doing even a modest variation of the famous loaves and fishes trick. Given that, the move to eliminate funding for Meals on Wheels or that evil GOP healthcare scheme are completely ill-advised. Signed, Scott in San Diego, with a hearty amen from Punky the Pious Cockatiel. Yeah. Yeah, Mick Mulvaney was a dick before he became head of the Office of Management and Budget. And he is no less one, and perhaps more of one now. And it's true. In regard to feeding children in after-school programs, that, no demonstrable results. Just like, as Scott points out, what he said about keeping old people from starving to death. No demonstrable results. By what metric? I mean, I guess if you're looking for kids who get a little meal after school, if you're looking to them to contribute to the gross domestic product right then and there, maybe he's right. No demonstrable results. But what about the kids who did have nutrition assistance, who are out there working and contributing to the economy now? It's a loaded phrase, especially from a statistical standpoint. Demonstrable results. Let's just remember that according to Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, let's just remember that there is a lake of fire to which Ben Carson, Donald Trump, Mick Mulvaney, Jim DeMint over at the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Tom Price, and every other member of the Trump regime is bound for. Might want to go ahead and lay in those asbestos thongs, gang. Yeah. All right, so break time, and then the Green News Report. This is listener-supported, emphasis on listener-supported, Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Talk much more. She sits and stares through the back door screen, and all the news just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we've both seen. Someday I'll go and call up Rudy. With you, nothing much to do. You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone. If you're walking down the street sometime, spot some hollow ancient eyes, please don't just pass them by and stare as if you didn't care. See in there. Oh.
It's Thursday, March 16, 2017.
We want to be the car capital of the world again. We will be. And it won't be long, believe me.
Trump orders EPA to roll back fuel economy standards and plans to cut EPA's budget even more than previously known.
Researchers have confirmed that for the second year in a row, Australia's Great Barrier Reef has fallen victim to mass bleaching.
Large sections of the Great Barrier Reef have died thanks to global warming. Plus,
they began coming down from the mountains and now they aren't going back.
6 years after the Fukushima nuclear disaster, radioactive boars complicate residents' return.
All of those complications and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Let it be known, if you are driving a Prius and I support NPR bumper sticker is redundant, we know.
Yes, we know. Coexist. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, we're learning more and more about Donald Trump's plans, hopes to slash the Environmental Protection Agency today.
Yes, yes, we are. More on that in a moment, though. First, President Trump went to Michigan on Wednesday to announce he has ordered the EPA to begin the lengthy process of rolling back stringent fuel economy standards for cars and trucks sold in the United States.
Fantastic.
We're going to work on the CAFE standards so you can make cars in America again.
Of course, American automakers never stopped making cars in America, but those fuel standards were set to come into effect in 2022 and would have reduced carbon emissions and air pollution and saved consumers thousands of dollars at the gas pump.
By increasing mileage on those cars.
Indeed. Automakers had agreed to the higher CAFE standards in the auto industry bailout back in 2009, but last month they requested the Trump administration rewrite those standards, claiming they're too expensive. And now consumers are preferring SUVs because of low gas prices. Climate Progress reports that rescinding those higher fuel economy standards will cost consumers nearly $2,000 in additional net fuel costs, increase asthma rates, and ultimately will undermine the U.S. automakers' competitiveness as the rest of the world moves toward more efficient fuel economy standards.
Yeah, but on Fox News, they told viewers that these CAFE standards were terrible, were hurting the car industry. Of course, they were lying, but Donald Trump believes any lie he hears on Fox News.
In fact, Consumer Reports has found that 84% of Americans want automakers to continue improving fuel efficiency. Meanwhile, the Trump administration also plans even deeper cuts to the budget of the Environmental Protection Agency than previously thought just a few weeks ago. Instead of 25%, now it's 31%. For comparison, last year, congressional Republicans suggested the EPA's budget should be $8 billion. Then the Trump administration proposed a budget of $6 billion. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt then asked for $7 billion. The Trump White House responded by cutting EPA's budget further to $5.7 billion.
So they're not even giving Scott Pruitt, the new head of the EPA, who hates the EPA, they're not even giving him the money that he wants. They want to cut it more than him.
Exactly. Now, these are only proposals. The numbers could change when the budget goes to Congress.
Oh, it will. I know even Republicans are not happy about cutting the EPA that much.
More heat has been absorbed by the oceans over the last 50 years than has previously been reported. That's the conclusion of an international team of American and Chinese scientists in a new study that uses updated ocean temperature data and new analysis techniques to measure the heat content of the planet's oceans. The researchers say the oceans are warming 13% faster than previously believed, and that the ocean's heat uptake is accelerating. The ocean heat has been damaging coral reefs around the world, and now large sections of the Great Barrier Reef are confirmed dead. That's according to Australia's lead management agency for the reef. They warn that unless the ocean heat subsides, some areas of the reef may never recover. The central part of the world's largest reef is now showing signs of extensive bleaching due to record high ocean temperatures off the coast of Australia as the ocean heat wave extends into a second consecutive year.
Good thing we're lowering the emission standards on our cars here.
Finally, this week marks the sixth anniversary of the meltdown of the three nuclear reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant in Japan after a record earthquake and tsunami in 2011. The plant still requires extraordinary daily efforts to keep the reactors cool, and officials are still struggling with storage and disposal of staggering amounts of radioactive water and waste. The cost of cleanup is now an estimated $188 billion, double previous estimates. And now, efforts to allow residents to return to some of the towns within the exclusion zone have been hampered by herds of radioactive wild boars that have taken over the abandoned towns.
Wow. And I thought radioactive wild boars had taken over our country. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, I'm not uptight, not unattractive. Turn me off tonight.
Not 12 minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, 16th day of March, 2017. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And let's go straight away and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Is it Thursday?
It's Thursday.
Is Trump still is 45 still president?
That too. And okay. The future belongs to us.
Well, you know, I was listening to them, you know, talking about the what Trump is talking about, you know, cutting the emissions and all that on cars. And it made me think about before, you know, growing up here in L.A. and how bad the smog used to be before we had those damn regulations.
Yeah, those job-killing regulations. I mean, the bread lines in L.A. are just terrible, aren't they?
Right. Now, I grew up in L.A., but I went to school. I was bused out here to the Valley. And I remember how bad the smog used to be, Bob. I remember it was so bad that I could not breathe. It hurt to breathe because the smog was so bad that you could not see the orange. The sky was orange. You could cut the air. The smog was so thick. I mean, we still have smog, don't get it twisted, but I could breathe, Bob.
Right. And you had inversions. That was a word that Angelinos had to learn, right?
Right.
And you had don't go outside days.
Don't go outside days. Stay your ass in the house because the smog is so bad days.
And there are examples around the world of those unregulated free market economies, and they tend to have real bad air pollution problems.
What, and you know what? And I didn't even think about this until it had been so many years. But years ago, let's see, when did I go to Mexico? I went to Cancun, and I guess it was in 1996. When we flew down, we had pretty much a direct flight from LA to straight into Cancun. But when we flew back, we had to stop in Mexico City before we flew back to L.A. And so I walked. We didn't have that one way layover, but it was long enough to go outside. I walked outside to Mexico City, and Bob, it was like circa L.A., Los Angeles, 1970, whatever it was, before we got the EPA out here, right? Before we started having the regulation on air quality management or whatever it is. And it was like, I remember because it was like being out a little kid again, not being able to breathe. The air was so, it was choked with smog. And then I'm like, it's like going to these states. Whenever I would go to a state where they still allowed smoking inside a building, do they still have states like that? Do you still smoke indoors in some states still?
In some states, in some places.
You can smoke indoors in private clubs in West Virginia.
Well, it's like, I remember, it was like when I went to Arizona years ago, and we walked into a restaurant, and they asked us smoking or non-smoking, and I'm like, excuse me, what? You know, those things that you forget when you leave California.
Right, or watching an episode of Mad Men where they're on a plane and sitting there honking on cigarettes.
Right, where you can still, you know, or watching, you know, I don't know, have you watched the show This Is Us?
I have not.
Give it a watch. You have DirecTV now. I'm pretty sure they have some on demand. It's a great show. I can't get
the over the air channels. I can't get NBC, ABC or CBS.
Even on demand you can't get it?
No. No, I've got HBO. I've got HBO on demand. For, you know, online, and no, they won't let me have it.
I think you could get it on demand on the internet, on NBC on demand on the internet. But if you can, give it a try. But anyhow, watching shows that are set in the 70s or the 80s or whatever, where you could still, you know, back where you could still smoke in the hospitals and stuff like that, and you're like, holy shit, people used to smoke in hospitals, you know, and it's just like, wow. Jesus, wow, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, and listen.
And, of course, you can still blaze up around the tables in Vegas, right?
Yes. You can still blaze up in Vegas. Up until recently, you could still actually smoke in the airport in Vegas. You can't anymore, but who knows how long that'll last now that, you know, Habanero Hitler is, you know, in power. Who knows how long that's going to last? Who knows how long they might start letting you smoking on airplanes again, you know?
I'm of two minds on that. I have no desire. I have no desire to smoke on the plane from, say, Charleston to Atlanta.
But,
It becomes a different matter, say, from Atlanta to Paris. Because then you begin to Jones.
I don't care.
I know.
Because I don't smoke.
And you know what I think? In the broader sense of just not having planes blow up in midair, I think not smoking on planes is probably a good idea.
I mean, it was like, what, you know, because, of course, my wife smokes. And one of our, you know, when we go to Vegas, we do get a non-smoking room because she does not smoke in the house. So, but the big fight is, you know, when we're driving and she's, and I can't stand cigarettes. And, I mean, this weekend, we're going down to Rincon. Because we're eligible for a cruise and we get a free cruise. So we're going to pick up a cruise. We don't know where, you know, we have a list of places where we're going to go. I have no idea where we're going to pick because I don't know. She wants to go to Hawaii, but I don't know. I'm not one. I don't care about Hawaii. I'd rather go somewhere where I'm hoping. Now here's a hope and wish me luck. I'm hoping. Because the cruise line that Harrah's Resorts and Caesars cruises with is in Norwegian Cruise Lines, and they're one of the first cruise lines that have been allowed to go into Cuba.
Oh, but you'd have to go all the way down to the Panama Canal, transit the Panama Canal, all the way across the Caribbean, though, wouldn't you? That'd be like a 2-week cruise.
Am I caring?
Well, no.
Okay.
Just checking.
I'm not caring.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine me and the pictures that the Horn family's going to see if Miss Tracy goes to Cuba?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Because Miss Tracy might not come back.
Miss Tracy goes to the Floridita and has a daiquiri where Papa used to have them.
Right. Tracy might not. Because, see... Cuba, ever since Tracy saw Guys and Dolls, Tracy has always wanted to go to Cuba. And ever since, you know, she saw, you know, the second Godfather, it pushed everybody out of Cuba. And ever since, you know, they took in, what's the sister that left and went to Cuba when she was falsely accused of killing a cop? What? Come on, Bob, help me out.
No. As we say here in the hills, okay. You asked me too quick.
Yeah, if I hadn't have asked you to cut. Oh, God damn it. Shakur. Oh, is it Shakur? Wait. It's in my head. They gave her asylum. I can't think of the name. Why can't I think of the name?
That's okay. That's okay. Last night I forgot my own phone number, so.
Are you serious?
You talking about Patty Hearst?
No, the black sister that they gave.
Angela Davis, no.
Angela's here.
Bernadette Devlin.
She changed her name. Asada. Asada Sikora? Oh, fuck. Was she a Panther? This is going to make me crazy. Somebody Google. Somebody in the chat room.
I'm working on it.
Is everybody?
No, not Bernadette Devlin. Somebody will email me. I mean, we'll have to muddle along. I know who you're talking about.
We'll muddle along. Asada Shakur. I was right. Asada Shakur.
Okay.
Yeah. Asada Shakur. Wouldn't it be awesome if I ran into her?
That would be a little moment in history.
You know, just. Because what you were talking about, I had a Facebook troll yesterday, and I don't even know why I engaged, because I sent you that picture of the person, and that's a brave person that has fucked Trump and fucked you for voting for him. You saw that? Did you see that picture?
Their vehicle, right?
On their vehicle, at a Walmart parking lot. And God only knows where. I have no idea where that person lives or what state. But this is the fact that they had it on the pickup and they're in a Walmart parking lot. That person is taking their lives on their own hands. Would you say?
Oh, if I put that on my vehicle here, not only would I get my tires slashed in any given parking lot, I would probably be pulled over every 15 seconds by every cop.
Right. But if you had said the same thing about Obama or Hillary.
Oh, no. There was, I remember the dude that used to drive around in a vehicle with a homemade sign on the back of his SUV said, it just said OBAMA, you know, in a vertical line, and a word out from each letter, one big ass mistake, America.
Mm-hmm. So, what a Facebook troll comes onto my page, and I don't even like, why do I even engage and say, well, you know, I voted for Hillary, but that's not a very adult. And I'm like, here we go. And I'm like, well, if you vote for Hillary, you know.
Oh, so it was a concerned troll.
It was a concerned troll. And, you know, we should, you know, stop. Why that's so disrespectful and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? Disrespectful. And I said, well, I'll start showing him respect when he apologizes for, you know, saying that President Obama wasn't born here. And demanding to see his college records. And then, you know, something about that I was the problem if I voted for Hillary. I said, but you just, I said, well, I'm not saying who I voted for. Oh, so you didn't, you know, all that I say is that I didn't vote for Trump. And well, then you're part of the problem. I said, then how am I a problem? You voted for, if you said you're voting, if you said that you voted for her, then you're the problem, then aren't you part of the problem too? Right?
Yep.
Sister was such a flawed candidate. You know, I see, the thing is about me, I mean, yes, I voted for Hillary, and but I'm a Bernie supporter. Oh, well, you just threw away your vote. I said, well, I'm from California, so it didn't matter who I voted for, really. The state was going to, you know, I didn't live in a swing state. So it didn't matter who I voted for in California. This, California was going to go for Hillary regardless. I could have wrote in Kimba's name. Who would have been a better president anyway? Because Kimba's awesome.
Well, I mean, I can think of old hollow logs out in the woods here that would be a better president than what we've got in the White House right now.
I mean, just the fact, like you were talking about with the block, you know, the fact that we're increasing the military, the Pentagon's budget by, give me that number again, Bob.
Oh, increasing the Pentagon's budget by $58 million or billion dollars, I'm sorry.
Billion.
Billion, yeah.
Billion with a B. But we're getting rid of Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, yeah, 3 million. Well, and after school lunches and for kids. And
after school or during school?
Both.
Both.
Because they show no measurable measurable effect.
Effect. It's not me. Let me, okay, now, let me give you a story. I know people, I get tired of my anecdotes about who my life and how, who I am and how my life, what my life was, who was until I got to this point. I was one of those kids, Bob, that we were so broke that had it not been for school lunches, I wouldn't have had anything to eat, okay? When there was times me being a single mom, that I was so broke with Alex that sometimes that school lunch was the only meal that he had. Okay.
Well, see, that's so just because y'all were your parents were not working hard enough in the capitalist miracle.
Right. Oh, and by the way, I did work, and so did my parents.
Yeah, but not hard enough.
But not hard enough.
Because if you work hard, you can pull yourself up by your good, white, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian bootstraps.
That's right. I'm not white. That's right.
But see, there's another angle to this as well. And that is, you know, for instance, I went all Matthew 25 earlier, Tracy.
Yeah, I heard that.
And see, what the right wing will say is, well, see, that what Jesus was saying for it was for the church to do that, and government ain't got no business engaging in confiscatory taxation to take money from hardworking Americans to feed a bunch of hungry people. Which I guess is one way of looking at it. It's twisted and it's sick. But what about those of us who don't participate and do not support the idea of churches?
Yeah, the churches.
There's 20-30% of us who, you know, we rely on the federal government to use our tax dollars to feed the poor and to house the homeless and to give a drink to the thirsty and a meal to the hungry. Because we don't participate in the church scam.
But let's back it up. Let's back it up to Matthew 25 times there, Bob. There was no Christian church back then, Bob.
No, there wasn't.
So there. So when you talk about, well, that's what the church was supposed to, he meant the church. That's the church wasn't, they weren't called Christians until when we were first called Christians at Antioch. Antioch wasn't happening when Jesus. Antioch hadn't happened yet.
Well, the word Christ, word Christ didn't happen while he was ostensibly alive.
Hello. So he was talking when he was doing this. You know, when you're doing this for, you know, in the least for the least of bees, for the least of us. He was talking about the here and the now while he was there, people. And at that point, he was just Jesus. He wasn't the Christ. So, you know, like I said,
yeah, he was just Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, an itinerant, semi-literate rabbi.
Exactly. So he was just talking about Jewish folks at that point, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he was, because he was a nice Jewish boy.
He was a nice Jewish boy.
I mean, he broke his mother's heart because he was 30 years old and had never gotten married, but...
Never gotten married.
And that raised more than a few eyebrows there in Nazareth.
Right. He didn't give her any grandbabies.
Well, in that era, to be 30 and Jewish...
And not married?
And not married? that was more than a little bit suspect.
Just a little. Just a little. So, you know, I mean, again, this picking and choosing about what parts of the Bible you're going to follow and saying that that's not what he meant. Again, not a big, you know, I have my own issues with the Bible. I have my own fights with my mother about the Bible. As a matter of fact, my mother and I think I told you, my mother and I are having one of our this to probably be rather inappropriate, one of our Mexican standoffs right now. Because, again, she's an evangelical, and I don't think she's going to ever get past the fact that I'm a cussing lesbian. I cussed long, you know. I had a I cussed like a sailor long before I became a lesbian. I think she forgets about that part. I mean, I've known you longer than I've been a lesbian, and we both know Mama cussed long before.
Yeah, it wasn't the lesbians who taught you to swear. No, not at all.
No. I was dropping F bombs long before I met before you know I decided.
By the way, we just got a note in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, uh-huh. Thanksgiving. Bob, don't you have a holiday up there based on one group of people taking pity on some starving folks and feeding them? But school kids now get to go hungry if their parents don't work hard enough? You about got it. And see, there's another problem with Matthew 25. Because before he gets to the... And you have to understand a little bit about how the Gospels came about. It's not like a guy named Matthew sat down and wrote all this stuff.
Nope.
Scholarship on the Gospels shows that Matthew, Mark, and Luke and the Gospel of Thomas all come from a common source. And so they were cobbled together based upon whoever the writers were on their idea of the message they wanted to convey. That's why Matthew begins with that long, long, long passage of, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. Because he was establishing the relationship between Jesus and King David.
Yep.
Because that meant something to a certain audience. Mark is more austere, and it's also the oldest of the Gospels, which means it's probably nearest to the source document. But Matthew, Matthew 25, that's got that whole lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and people who don't feed hungry people. Well, before you get to that, there are three parables in Matthew 25. The first one is the virgins and the lamps. But the second one is the for lack of a better term, the businessman and the talents and the servants.
Right.
And he gives 5 talents to one guy and 2 talents to another and 1 talent to the third guy. Well, the guy with 5 talents goes into the marketplace and puts the 5 talents at hazard and wins and makes 10 talents, doubles his money. And the guy with 2 talents does the same, but the guy who got 1 crappy little talent, well, he went and dug a hole in the ground and buried it there, so that way he knew he couldn't lose it. And he's the one that Jesus gives shit to. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Meanwhile, usury is condemned in Christianity.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk to the banks about that.
So then here comes verse 29. And I don't know, maybe this is what the conservative Christians read instead of going on down and reading about sheep and goats and lakes of fire. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. So that means, you know, if you're poor, they can take your shit, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
Jesus is not the most consistent of saviors.
No.
And all the people who point at Matthew 25, somehow or another, they never mention verse 29, which is extremely troublesome. Because that says that it's okay to rip off the poor. I mean, so what you, I mean, I guess what we could say is that in the Meals on Wheels issue, what we have is your Matthew 25, verse 29 approach to Meals on Wheels. From them that hath not shall be taken away even that which they have. Praise
right.
Jesus.
And it's a lesson. I mean, that it's in the Bible. Well, because remember, these are the same people that use the Bible to justify slavery, to justify oppressing women, to justify oppressing black people, to justify oppressing, you know, now they're using it to justify oppressing gay people. It's like, you know, my mother and I, we get into it about that one time in the Bible does Jesus say anything about homosexuality. But then they go about, you know.
No, but Paul had all kinds of religious hang-ups. And all kinds of sexual hang-ups. Right.
Don't follow Paul. Am I a Paulian?
Well, even though he invented your religion.
He invented that shit, but I'm a follower of the Christ.
Again, a term not to be not. I'm not being cantankerous here, but again, a term.
I'm not being cantankerous.
Again, a term that was invented
when Paul took the Jesus
story into the Greek world. Christos ain't Hebrew. That's Greek.
No, that's Greek. But it's just the thing. It's like, and like you said, Paul. But the thing is, and this is why I have such, me and my mother have such issues. Well, me and Christianity have such issues. It's just the fact that there's more things in the Bible about redemption, about love, about coming together as one, about doing the right thing, about caring for each other, about unity, about a whole lot of other good things than about this other bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's so many people that, and that's in any book of, you know, of religious, you know, learning or whatever, teaching. I'm assuming, because I don't know anything about the Quran or the, what's the Jewish one?
The Torah.
The Torah, thank you. Or, you know, the Hindu books or any of these other, any of these other books of religious teachings or guidance or whatever. I would bet my bottom dollar on the fact that I just have this feeling that it's more about doing good than about anything else. But there's this group of, there's a group of people, and unfortunately, it's usually the people that are in control of this shit. The people that are supposed to be our, the leaders and the ones that are supposed to be guiding us and doing the right, they're supposed, allegedly doing the right thing, that have everything so twisted and so twisted in it to their advantage that they're guiding people down the wrong path. And I think this is probably more of a prayer meeting with CJ, but it's just like, if I hear one more Christian or Christian leader, you know, going on and on espousing about how much Jesus saves and Jesus loves us and all this and God we trust and God bless America, it sends a spear through my heart, Bob. It because I know different, and it's just like, for Christ's sakes, and it's like I told you, it hurts my heart because I know different. And when I hear about, you know, they're cutting food stamps and they're cutting Meals on Wheels, for God's sakes, are you kidding me? Like you said,